Hey, Sam.
Hey Sam, how are you?
Good, you? Hello.
Hi, welcome back. Missed you last week.
I know I had to be out, and I was so thankful that Sam was able to carry our show on.
It was a 15-minute doozy, I think I'd call it, but it was good. Just got to talk about if someone's ready to search for a counselor, where to get started with that, how it can feel like really disheartening and disappointing if you don't hear back after reaching out. And
Yeah.
yeah, so yeah,
I
that's
know when people reach out, I always try really hard to get back within like 24 hours because even if I just send referrals, because I hate that feeling.
yeah, it that and that's kind of something that I talked about on there. It's like we have to do better about at least saying like I'm full. You know, like because and that's also what I mentioned too. If you haven't heard back in like 2 business days, like just move forward, you know, move along with it.
Business days, though, because I will say my own
Business
personal
days.
boundaries, I do not respond on weekends
Yeah.
or after like 6 or 7.
Yes. I think I did mention business days. Did I? Did
Yeah.
I not say
Oh, I
that?
don't
Well, if I didn't,
know.
here it is now. So hopefully you're listening to this episode. But today I'm excited for today's episode because we're talking about one of our favorite session topics, core values.
Yes, this is one of my like all-time favorite things to talk about with clients because I think it's something that I've heard people say like, oh, my values, and I have to be true to my values. I'm like, okay, what are your values? And they're like, well, what are my values? And it's like, okay, but what are those? Like,
Yeah,
what does that look like? And sometimes I have a values card sort that I do with clients a lot, and like I find that if I have clients who are struggling with like self-esteem, life direction, just like identity development in general, or more specific things, even with like relationships and things, understanding your own values and what that actually is, that can help identify where your anger is coming from. That can help identify what decisions you want to make. That can help identify like, do I feel bad about myself because I'm not living into these really important values to me? There's so many good things that can come from it.
Yes. When I talk to my teen clients and even my adult clients, I say that our values are what define us and drive us. And, you know, it helps to understand the decisions that we make. It helps us understand the relationships that we keep. And all the other things that Sam added on to that. It's just that to know and understand your values, you're going to be able to start pinpointing areas of your life where they show up. And so what we'd like, if you have the chance, if you're not driving, if you're sitting and listening to this episode and have a moment, go to personalvalue.es. So it's personal, VALU.ES. So it's the just instead of a .com. I feel like that could have been better if it was like value.S. You know what I mean? Because now I have to spell out the whole thing, but it's again personal, VALU.ES. And I'll link it in the notes to make it easier. Go to that website and take their little values assessment with us because Sam and I have gotten to do it. And we're going to talk about the values that we came up with on this episode. And that way you can know more about your own values and then follow along for the rest of the episode. From what you find. So pause here. And I don't know if y'all can hear my stomach. She is digesting. So
I could
just,
not.
okay, if you can, that's what's happening. But just pause here and come back when you finish. Okay, great. So, Sam,
So
do
Sam.
you want to go first?
Yeah, so I Sam Simo is actually who found this website, and it's super cool. I know we talk about several things on here. We're not endorsed by anybody, just
No.
throwing that out there at this point in time. Maybe we will be one day, but we are not. So the things that we're sharing on this podcast are things that like we actually find useful, things we actually use ourselves or with clients. And yeah, so just throwing that out there. But I really liked this assessment because it gave you a lot of values to choose from. And then it kind of gives you this quiz on like which one's more important and helps break it down of more important, like which one's higher on the list for you. And you just do that over and over until it helps you like break down in order your top five values. So for me, it's funny because we talked about values a couple episodes ago, and like authenticity and honesty, I think were the two that I'm like, these are my like main values. And what do you know? Authenticity was my number one value. So mine were authenticity, honesty, accountability, compassion, and security. I'll say that security surprised me a little bit, but the way they describe security is being free from danger or threat. And as I was going through, I'm like, that actually is like a lot more important to me than I think I realized. But the authenticity is really cool. And I love that this website, like, it breaks it down and tells you just like basic information about it. So authentic persons do not have to prove anything to others. They're themselves in every situation. When asked for their opinion, they'll give an honest answer. Even if it's not popular, they do not find themselves in an environment where lying or lack of honesty often occurs. So it's funny because that little blib talks about honesty. It talks about like just being themselves and several other things that connect to the other values, right? And then it talks about the strengths, which it says people who value authenticity generally have no problems with self-acceptance. And I call BS on that one because self-acceptance is really difficult, but it also says the dangers, right? So not all people want to be confronted with the truth, and sometimes it can be uncomfortable or painful for them, and it's worth knowing how to be tactful. And I think for me, you and I have talked about this. I don't know if we've talked about it on here, but like this almost like overwhelming need to tell the truth. And I try to do it in very like kind ways, but I think directness and authenticity and just being really open and clear is really important to me. And I try to find a balance, right, of how can I be authentic and be true. When do I need to do that? When can I take a step back? Like, when is it not as necessary? But I know that about myself, right? And so having that base to work from, I know when I'm being authentic and when I'm being less authentic and not living into that value. Does that make sense?
And something you said, can you read that little second part? I'm guessing you're talking about where the diamond is. Can you read that
The
one more time?
strength. People who value authenticity generally have no problems with self-acceptance. They can easily see falsehood or insincerity in the behavior of others.
And you said what?
I struggle with self-acceptance.
And so that's part of that place where we can go against our own values that you were talking about earlier, and how
Yeah.
we can feel almost this like internal conflict happen, because even though this is something that's really important to us, doesn't mean that we don't struggle with the whole value itself and what it comes with.
That's like the cognitive dissonance that happens, right? When like what's really important to you is not aligned with the experience that you're having or the behaviors that you're having or doing.
I loved learning about cognitive dissonance. Absolutely, it is. It's just that it's that internal conflict. It's that piece of like you that says one thing going against the piece of you that either isn't allowing that one thing, or doesn't understand, or doesn't want it. It's so you're going to see that in your own values, and you might even see where your values can get you in a tizzy in certain areas, right? Is there any other ones you wanted to talk on?
I think the authenticity and honesty kind of go together. The accountability also kind of goes with that. And then the compassion of just like wanting to be empathetic, connecting to people, understanding people suffering. Hello, like that I'm a
our
counselor,
little line of
that's
work.
but the security thing was interesting because my husband, I did this last night and I was talking to him and he made a point and I was like, did you just come up with my dissertation idea? But he said, it's interesting that all of your values are kind of connected in some way to being safe. And he's like, I wonder if that's like a binary, like male versus female, like do if you did a study and gave everybody this assessment, like would women trend towards having more need for safety in their value, like your values geared more towards safety and connection, and what would men's values look like? And I've done most of the values exercises that I've done have actually been with my male clients. I've done it with a few women too, but I think that kind of expanding off of that, and what I was telling him is, I'm like, I think that if you looked at marginalized populations in general, right, like women, people of color, the LGBT people in the LGBTQIA plus spectrum, like people who are neurodivergent, I think if you look at marginalized groups who are inherently in more danger throughout life, like generally, I think that that might be a trend. But now I'm like, I really want to know. And I would love if maybe we can make a post and share and let people like share what their values were,
Share
because
what
that
their
would
top
be.
five from this episode would be so cool. I love that
Because
idea.
it's just our value, like my values come from my lived experience, right? Like there are reasons why. And that's what I told my husband, because his values were really different than mine. But I grew up in a home that was, there was addiction, there was verbal abuse, there was a lot of like chaotic, really, really, really unsafe things going on in the home. And like being on the neurodivergent world, versus my husband, who grew up very differently and had like physical safety in his home and, had more access to means and things. So, well, that's what we were talking about. Is it a like SES thing? Is it a like I said, it would be really cool to do a study of like people's demographics, like how you identify, gender, sexuality, all that, and then look at an ACEs study and then do the values assessment. Because
I mean, I'm thinking too, like we know that marginalized communities are more at risk for, trauma and high impact trauma. And so is that really what it's about? Because even, one of the things that we wanted to talk about too is that there, no matter what your value is, like to there's no shame around those values, right? So like even if, let's say, I have had clients come say, I mean, I know this doesn't sound good, but I would say success or wealth over family. And I'm like, why does that not sound good? Like, let's think about, how we grew up. Did we grow up in a way where that we didn't have access to that? What does success and wealth mean to you? It means security financially. It means security, where you don't have to, you just worry about eating or living. And that could just be someone's sense of security just written in a different way because it's from their own personal experience. So even then, how is it viewed for them? If it doesn't say security, or if it doesn't initially show a security, is it still security? So even like popularity being someone's core value, like where security falls there is that sense of not being alone.
I love that point. And I think that it's like when we talked about emotions, right? And when we talked about anger and how emotions are not inherently moral in any way. Like they're not good, they're not bad. And the same thing with values. Like values are not inherently good or bad. They're just a piece of information about us. Right now, if wealth is important to you and you hurt other people to build wealth and you damage your relationships and you hurt yourself, like that might be unhelpful. And I think we've talked about this. Like I always tell my clients, like it's easier to be kind to yourself if you think about things as helpful versus unhelpful versus good or bad. And like there might be less helpful ways to achieve those values. But at the end of the day, like you and I both kind of operate from that perspective of all behavior is purposeful.
Yeah,
And I think
absolutely.
that values go into that too. Like your values are purposeful and your behavior a lot of times comes from those values.
Yeah, that life experience that you've had up to this point has shaped you and your values in some sort of way. And your values now, I mean, I can tell you my values at 15, spicy 16, were probably much different than they are now. And so that's why when I have parents come in for parenting group, we'll send them home with two core values sheets, one to give their kid and one for them. And we ask them to go do it separately, but to come back together. Because how many times do we, force our own values onto others and think, like, even especially as parents, right? Like, why does my kid not get it? Why is school not important for them? Why are they, not out making friends? And like, well, what are our values? What's important to us? And are we projecting those onto them?
Sam, I love that so much because I remember when I first started to realize how important values were, and it was with one client earlier in my like clinical practice, and they were like, I don't understand why my parent doesn't care about these educational achievements. I'm working so hard. And we talked about it a few times, and then eventually I was like, does that parent like what education and like achievement are really important to you? Like those sound like big values for you. Is that your parents' value as well? Does that matter to them? Is that something important to them? And they're like, well, no. And then I was like, do you care about things that your parent cares about that aren't aligned with your values? And then we were able to that client taught me so much about that because it's like we so unconsciously move through the world without that intentionality, without that understanding of like where our values are misaligned. And that doesn't mean that that parent's bad. That parent is operating from their autopilot. They're operating from their space of what's important to them. And that kid's also not wrong for wanting like validation and excitement and wanting their values to be seen as important by their parent.
And it's so funny because most of the clients that I see that are teens, their values are a lot of the time family, big on respect, and adventure. Like they're in this mode of like excitement seeking. They're in this mode of like, I'm near adulthood. I'm gaining the sense of freedom is a big one, or independence. Yeah, they're craving this. This is gonna change over time because our values can also be shaped, I think, by when we're needing something, like our needs. Like if we need more freedom and independence, and we've been feeling that lately, that might be part of our top values at the time. And let's say, a lot of the time, like in school, we're asked for our top three, right? This website gives us our top five, which is fantastic. But even then, you can narrow this down to top three. And but if you look at your top 10, like you're going to see other areas of what falls and what matches. So kind of what we were talking about with those parents is, do a top 10 and then label it to your top three. And you'll see maybe you will have something in your top three in your kids' top 10. It's not as high in the level of importance to them. So, and maybe it's not in the top 10 at all. But it just opens this door for conversation of how can you work with this kid, your kid, and or client, if you're a clinician listening, and how to best work with their values and their beliefs and their drive and motivation, and how to get them motivated and feeling that way.
And partners too.
Absolutely.
Because I think especially like being married and moving through the world on autopilot, right? Like just going through the motions, doing our things, thinking, well, we're married, we get each other. But it's really hard to truly get each other in any kind of relationship if we don't get ourselves at least a little bit. And when we're able to articulate like why that this bothers me when you're not true, like my husband and I have talked several times about like the honesty thing is I'm not one of those people that's like, oh, well, if you leave something out, then you're still being honest. Like, yes, but if I find out you like intentionally left something out or even accidentally, like that bothers me, and because that is such a high value for me, right? And he's very like matter of fact to the point efficiency. So he'll just say this and like leave out a detail, not intentionally at all, but like as he's started to learn how important that is to me, and we've been able to communicate as to why. And like, yeah, I think that it can be so helpful. And you said about the top 10 and like with the parents thing, I like how you were talking about how something that's in the parents' top 3 might be in the kids' top 10 or vice versa. But if you give them a list of 100 values, they might have completely different values, and that's something so cool to talk about too,
It's
together.
how did you even come about these values, right? Like, especially because I think as parents, I'm not a parent, but like I think what I've come to realize of working with parents is you have this idea that I mean, you're obviously one of the main people in this child's life, and you would think that what is important to you will become important to them just based off of how you're raising them. But there's so many different factors that go into values, and it's okay with what their values are. It creates more doors for communication and understanding and feeling heard, and just like you can better understand them, they can better understand where you're coming from.
And especially when you have like kids who are getting older, who are able to kind of take a quiz like that and be able to assess their values and say that and verbalize that, like that's a really cool point where you can start to see where there is divergence and create more understanding and kind of try to avoid the conflict that comes from like two super opposing values.
Like find the middleman, find what goes into that value, just like Sam was saying, how multiple of her values can kind of be intertwined. And it's funny because taking this assessment, I see exactly why I got what I did. And for a long time, I thought that my values were my top three, I thought were freedom, intellect, and helping others. Okay. But when I took this assessment, I didn't get exactly that verbiage, but explaining, so my first one I got is peace. And it's calm, freedom from conflict. That is such a big piece for me. Like I'm definitely not, I don't like conflict. I definitely try to avoid it, and I'm sure that's what it says at the bottom. Let's see. It is worth asking whether the pursuit of peace justifies all measures taken. I think I have over time like became what people would say a people pleaser, and have responses in order to mute the conflict, because peace was so important to me. And I think that made me a very avoidant person in a lot of ways. And so, like, just being able to see that in a different lens, and it's not just freedom of, needing to escape this constricting feeling. It's this conflicting feeling, I think, this that I wanted to get away from. And then growth, so physical, intellectual, and spiritual development. So intellect is still there, but it's just under this different, like, growth is important to me. And then meaningful work, ethics, and trust.
I think those all are pretty, what's the word? Pretty spot on for you.
Thanks. When I was like, yeah, this is exactly, it's so funny. And I love that they put the beautiful things about your value, but also the area of like where your value can get you caught up in places. Like, because it's true. Like, let's see. So for ethics, the like little warning piece says a distorted sense of ethics can lead to a misjudgment of reality. You should remember that not everything is black or white.
Ooh.
Right? And I
Ooh.
get so annoyed with gray areas when we talk about counseling, because counseling is all gray. It really, like most of it, unless you're like, you know, it's so funny. I was in a group supervision yesterday, and one of the other PLPCs there asked something, and the supervisor said when she was getting supervised, her supervisor asked one time, "Were you dancing naked on a table? Were you doing this? Were you doing this? You're okay. Like you're here. You're doing your best. You're reflecting with the client. You're never gonna get, you know, your license taken for reflection, for presence, for, you know." And obviously there are other things that we can do that aren't just dancing naked on a table, but it was just a funny way of saying like there is that gray there, and like it's uncomfy to have to decide what is right for you, and it might not be right for others, and that's okay.
I think that what your supervisor said is so spot on for the counseling profession as a whole, because I know for myself as a new professional, I know I've heard this from some other new professionals, is it's scary because you want to make sure you're doing it right,
Yeah.
but oh my God. And I forget, I think it was my supervisor now, but I might have been talking to an old mentor, and I was just like, the thing that infuriates me about some supervisors is people will present things to you as if it is right or wrong. And it's like, sleeping with your
Yes.
client is wrong.
Correct.
There are a very small,
Yeah.
maybe like 10 to 20 things that are like, absolutely, we can all agree this is a big fat no, don't do that. But everything else, like even stuff that is like dancing the line, right?
Yeah.
Like the whole bartering thing. It's like, well, bartering's okay-ish as long as it's equal and you're not taking advantage of the whatever. There's so many things that are ethically gray, right? But
Yeah.
also just like style-wise, if you reflect and say, like, we had a teacher that kind of taught us how to say how come instead of why. And I think that that's, I like that for
I love
me.
that.
I love saying how come instead of why, because it feels less like accusatory and all the points that they made about
Judgmental.
why.
Yeah.
But if you say why, you're not a bad therapist,
Yes. It's
right?
also, it depends. I think it's how, I mean, it's, this is when we talk about tone. This is when we talk about body language, nonverbals, facial expressions. Like if I come at you, Sam, and I say, "Why?" Girl, I'd be like, "Oh my God, what are you?" Yeah. You know, it's like, oh, you know, why? Why is that?
So that's what I'm thinking. Like, I say how come most of the time because I've like trained myself into that and I like that. But every now and then I'll be like, why do you think that is? You know, like, but even if I did say, I've had a few clients that I had like really good relationships with, and I'd be like, girl, why? You
Yeah,
know,
for
like being
sure.
silly. So it's,
Rapport, rapport.
but if someone who did not know me and was like, absolutely not, walked in and saw a session like that, they'd be like, what are you doing?
For
And
sure.
so it's, I bring that back to the values piece of like, values are so personal and so different and so unique. And even if you and I had the exact same values, we might have completely different ideas about what that means. And the same thing with the stylistic, like, there are pretty basic, like, do not do this right here things as a counselor, but a lot of it's stylistic. And that's why we tell people, like, if you go to a counselor and you're like, absolutely not, go, don't, like, the first time you go to a counselor, don't say no, never again, because we're all so different. We are all each really individual people who come in with our own values, our own ideas. Like, you talked about, you and I were talking about justice right before we started this episode, and like, people are going to have different ideas of what that means. And depending on your identity and your counselor's identity, I think that understanding how different values present for people, and especially in this field or any like helping profession, it's really important to recognize that like we're all coming in with such different spaces. And that doesn't mean that you're bad or wrong. You're not going to be a good fit for every client. And if you are, you're doing something wrong.
Yep. That's when I see like on Psychology Today, and this is no hate to anyone One, if this is something you do, this is, I just want to, I'm sorry. I'm like, now I'm stuttering. And, but when I see this on Psychology Today, this is just what I personally see. If I see someone who is an expert or specializes in everything and also has, touches from every theory and modality, when I see that, I'm like, that's just not possible. Like, yes, have you possibly worked with people with these issues? But what is your specialties? What is something that you have had maybe extra training on? What is it that you've seen multiple clients on? Like, or, you know, really honed in on this area and have worked on this specific thing. And, you know, unless I'm seeing this really seasoned LPC who has been in the field for 20 years, like, there's just no way that you have that many specialties or that many modalities. Like that's, and that's just a me, that's a me thing. That is again, but it's like, that's that part of, you know, when you talk about our own values as clinicians and coming, we, you know, we talk about leaving ourselves at the door in the program. They always say, leave yourself at the door. This is not about, and let me tell you something. Yes and no. Like, authenticity is an important piece of a counselor value for me. Like, I want to go in and I'm not going to disclose my life and, you know, but if I'm just like this robot, there's no way that there I'm opening an area for connection. But am I going to leave my values, beliefs, and biases at the door? Absolutely. Right? Like, I'm not going to take those in session with me of my, I see you looking side to side.
So I a couple things. First thing, I was so mindful in my Psychology Today crafting of that piece because I was like, I've had experience working with a pretty wide variety of things, but there are things that even though I've worked with addiction, I feel comfortable doing groups in an addiction setting, but I didn't really do a lot of individual work in the addiction setting. So like in my private practice, I don't see people who are in active addiction because that's not something that I am like
Feel comfortable doing.
fully right. Like I don't think that's within my scope. Now if you're in recovery, like if someone came to see me that had just left a treatment center or something, that'd be different. But anyway, so that's that piece. But the reason I was really looking side to side is because I think that when it comes to leaving yourself at the door, I don't really think it's possible, to be quite honest, and to an extent, like, ooh, like I have ideas like I see a reasonable amount of clients at this point in time that kind of have come in and said in the first session or two, like I live an alternative lifestyle, right? Like I practice ethical non-monogamy or I you know, have kinks or I have this or I have that. Like I work with clients like that and I love it. And it's so different from how I live my life, right? So like I don't, like you said, the biases of like, well, I'm not gonna do that, but I think who I am as a person, I am a very open, like, live your life, let's talk about it. How does this affect you? Like, but I'm like that outside of the counseling room too. You know what I mean? So I'm bringing that openness and I'm bringing that acceptance and I'm bringing that into the room. And it is important. Like, I think religion is a really good point, like a really good thing to think about in this instance of like, I'm in a weird space spiritually, right? Like, I grew up super duper Southern Baptist and I've had kind of a crisis of faith in my own little deconstruction that I've gone through. So I'm not super into organized religion. I have like my own weird beliefs and space, right? But I have worked with clients who religion is so important to them and they ask to pray in session. I'm like, yes, absolutely. Like, how can we use this to be helpful for you? How can we see where this is hurting you and like adjust it to fit and be safe and protective for you? Like, I can work with someone who's super religious. I also am really empathetic of people who have religious trauma. So, like, I can't leave those things completely out. But it's, I think, being very mindful of my biases. You know what I'm
Well,
saying?
yeah, when so, and we're talking about this in a like at the door is that analogy of like maybe we can come up with a better analogy than just at the door, right? Because we do carry it, but it's about being mindful and making sure we're not actively treating or conceptualizing our clients through those lenses.
Keeping them in check, maybe.
Yeah, so like this is why
Yeah.
we're at the point of getting supervision and like checking on those counter transference that we might be experiencing with a client, because maybe, you know, I've had my own things with religion as well. And when people come in, like for a long time, I was like, I don't know how I'm gonna get comfy with this. And but I did have a client that wanted to pray in session, and we prayed in session, and you know, I had her lead like the way she wanted to pray. And if that's that is exactly like that's so beautiful to be able to be that space for somebody. And it is healing in a way for myself. I'm gonna talk for myself here, in that I know that I can keep that at bay to be able to work with and build rapport with my client. And that being again my
Absolutely.
top priority.
Yes, absolutely. I agree. So,
So I think we kind of got off track of values, but it all does blend together. It's just talking about like values that we have as counselors and, you
and
know,
those might
maybe
be different than like your personal values too.
that's absolutely, absolutely true. You know, 'cause like I don't mind, you know, obviously, let's see. Thinking, well, ethics is definitely going to stay in my top for sure, but like trust for me as a clinician, like I'm not expecting my client to come in and tell me everything and be completely 100% honest, or like, you know, where I can feel like I trust, like I'm not looking to trust my client in that way. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like I'm not putting that on a client. I'd put that on my friends. Like I want to trust my friend or my husband or my family. Like those things are important. But yeah, so absolutely, as a clinician, that's gonna look different, but doesn't mean that if we're not aware that those outside values can still come and affect our clinical values.
Yeah, and like I'm thinking about like our clinical values. I'm looking at the values that I had, and I'm thinking about authenticity. I'm like, no, I still believe that that is a top value for me, even as a clinician, because I want to be able to go into the room and like, I'm not gonna sit with a notepad and paper and I slouch. I got my little pillow and I'm comfy. You know, I'm gonna show up as like still as myself in the clinician's role, right? Like, I'm not gonna, like you said earlier, I'm not gonna disclose my whole life story and blah, 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 blah. But, you know, like recently, and I haven't really gone back since a lot of this has happened. I've been off for a few weeks because I had just like a string of chaos. So I had my aunt pass away, and then 2 weeks later, my grandmother passed away. And then I found out that a previous client passed away the week after that. And then my other grandmother like went downhill really rapidly, and then she passed away, and all that happened within 5 weeks, right?
And you had COVID.
And I had COVID. Thank you for the reminder, because that's why
Just
you
on
will
top. Yeah.
continue to clear my throat, because I'm not sick anymore, but I'm still feeling ick. So all that happened in 5 weeks, right? So as you can imagine, it is not appropriate for me to go into sessions when I can't speak to other people without crying. So I canceled a lot of sessions and I felt really guilty. And some of my clients, I saw a few in between things that were happening. And some of them asked and were like, hey, what's going on? Are you okay? And I was like, you know, everything's all right now. I just, you know, had family emergencies. And then some of them were like, hey, what's up? Blah, 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 blah. But like, I have a relationship with my clients, and also I'm a person, and I feel really weird about it, especially with newer clients, because I'm like, my clients that have been seeing me for 8 or 9 months, like, they know I'm not just canceling willy-nilly all
For
over.
sure.
But my newer clients don't know that. They're like, oh my God, this girl has canceled on me 3 times in the last month. So like, that would be a time when I would disclose, like, hey, you know, I had a few days, I had a week and one day that my conference and my friend's wedding that I was like, I'm going to be out. Like, this is planned.
Mm-hmm.
All this other stuff was very not planned. And
Right.
so I don't take a ton of time talking about it, but I do take a minute to just say, hey, like, I so appreciate how flexible and kind you've been. And, at the end of the day, I'm a person too, and life can be really chaotic
Yeah.
sometimes. And, and if they ask, like, if they ask, I'll probably tell them, most of them, because it, like, or if they're listening to this podcast, like, because I am a person and death does happen. And, like, most people have experiences where life just goes bang, 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 bang,
Yeah.
back to back. And I also, especially with my newer clients, want to make sure that they know that, like, I'm not going to just be like canceling willy-nilly forever.
Right.
But there's a lot of,
But that's where that gray area comes in again, too, of that, like, what is comfortable for you and your boundaries as a clinician, where some clinicians aren't comfortable with disclosing anything personally. But like that piece to me, you're modeling at the same time of like I'm not just because I wear this hat and this is my profession doesn't mean I'm a fucking robot,
That's the
and
authenticity for me.
yeah, and the honesty piece too.
Yeah, because I don't want to stonewall my clients, especially my anxious clients who may be like, why are you like just disappearing? And it's like,
Yeah.
yeah, because things got really complicated. And but I also, at the same time with that, like, I'm not gonna go into
Abandon
session and like bawl my eyes out and spend 15 minutes talking about it. I'm just gonna say, hey, like, I so appreciate it. Like, this is what's going on. Thank you for being so understanding during this time. That's been really helpful and
Yeah.
kind.
And like again, that's such a modeling piece for those anxious clients because how many people in their life would they maybe take that as a personal thing of like, oh, why is this person not talking to me? Are they leaving? Are they, and it's like, no, I just have life situations. I will be back. And like, and then we come back and there's no need to explain yourself or what happened. And another beautiful modeling piece of like, thank you so much for being understanding. And now we can get back to the norm of life of our sessions. And like that models for them that one, I don't have to explain myself when life takes its head, like ever really for the most part, ever, unless we're doing something that actively hurts somebody and like, that person might want more explanation behind it and like and there's intentionality, whatever. But in this way, it's such a beautiful way to create connection and a learning as well, just to be able to model our own boundaries and what how much willingness we have. And even if it was that I'm not sharing, that's again modeling boundaries. So it's really just in the hands of each clinician.
Yeah. And I know some people that are much more vague and are like, I had family emergencies. Thank you for being understanding. That's
That's it.
fine. I probably, so when the first thing happened, I was like, I have a family emergency that's come up. I'll be back next week. And then the second time I was
Yeah.
like, hey, so like something else has come up. Sorry. And now that it's like been a third time, I'm like, okay,
Right.
I feel like
I need more clarification here.
right. Like,
Yeah.
I don't have to explain myself, but I also feel like kindness is clarity. And I think that just being clear of like, I'm not dying, so you don't have to
Right.
think about that. And everything that's happened, like, should be like, I knew that those three people were like sick and unwell and would not, I didn't think it'd be that bang, 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 but like, I knew they wouldn't be living through the year, right?
Yeah.
So just kind of saying, like, the dust is starting to settle now,
Yeah.
hopefully.
Well, and when I say explaining yourself or not necessarily for anybody, that is more just saying what happened, but not when I say explain yourself or anyone's self, I think of like this happened and I just felt like I needed this because if not, then this and this and
Oh,
this. And like
Oh,
that
yeah.
level is just unnecessary. Like, we can say like, hey, this happened. This is real. I'm a person. This happens in life. And like, thank you for being understanding and flexible. But like then when we go past that and we're explaining and then like now we're disclosing and like just reel it in, hold it, grab it, bring it back and like center ourselves. But yeah, I think today's episode, just I hope that everyone took their values assessment and like got a piece of understanding themselves a little better. Have your partner do it, your friends do it, your family do it, and like just start opening these new doors of communication that can just create more understanding and connection. So any words from you, Sam?
Yeah, no, I think that when you listen back to some of our previous episodes where we've mentioned values, that this, the reason we did this episode is to kind of clarify what we meant by that and to help kind of jumpstart that, like getting out of autopilot, being more aware of what's creating our anger. Like inauthenticity really bothers me. Lying and dishonesty really bothers me. Those things, because they're going so far against my values, right? And I think that when we try to like understand and get beneath the surface of the anger, that looking at our values is really helpful. I think when we're trying to get out of autopilot and be more intentional with our daily choices, like being aware of our values and letting them drive that and trying to align the choices that we're making with our values is really helpful. So this is just kind of hopefully, I know we always go off on tangents, but I hope they're all relevant. And I think that it just hopefully puts a nice little bow on like how that all connects.
Yeah. Yeah. We get back to B, some like A to D to Z to E to B. And that's how this podcast works. So it's really, if you can keep up with us.
To be quite honest, that's how sessions go, right?
Right.
Like you start off in one direction, you go all around, and then you take that nice, beautiful summary at the end and say, this is what we've covered today, and this is how it's all connected.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you. So in the future, I know that we're planning on doing some episodes about defense mechanisms, grief. What else have we been talking about?
Plenty of good stuff.
Yeah.
Codependency.
We're going to try to have some people come on too. I've talked to a few people. We might have somebody come on and talk a little bit about addiction, defense mechanisms, maybe. We have some people that want to come and talk about TBRI and trauma-informed care.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, and we talked about doing an episode with both of our partners of what it's like to be married to a counselor, because it's chaos.
How interesting. Yeah. I love that. And if you did the values assessment and you would not mind if Sam and I knew what your top five values were, like, please message us on Instagram at goodyou.therapy. And please also message us if you have any feedback, good or bad. You can also do that wonderful thing where, you know, I don't think I've ever asked this before, but if you want to like rate us too on the podcast itself, that would be awesome. And then of course, just any feedback through goodyou.therapy on Instagram or goodyou.therapy@gmail.com.
Yes. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
Disclaimer. Sam and Sam are provisional licensed professional counselors. This podcast may include opinions, experiences, and research-backed discussions. This podcast is not meant to diagnose or provide any mental health treatment. The purpose of this podcast is to encourage thoughtful discussions around mental health. If you are seeking mental health services, please reach out to a licensed professional in your state or country that can give you additional resources. Thank you for listening.